Hello, everybody. I'm Anthony Evangelista. I'm here with Kyle Keegan, and this is the very first episode of the Big Apple Sports Podcast. So just to introduce ourselves a little bit, I'm Anthony Evangelista. I'm going to my senior year at Eastchester High School in Eastchester, New York. I am a big Jets fan, and I also like the Knicks, the Mets, and the Rangers. How about you, Kyle?
Hey, guys. My name is Kyle Keegan. I'm a rising junior at Princeton High School in Princeton, New Jersey. I am a Yankees, Giants, Knicks, and Rangers fan, so we got some differentiating here. It'll hopefully be good for the pod, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited to get this started. We've been planning this for a long time, finally getting that first episode out, and just really excited to start talking to you guys. It's going to be great.
Yeah, so just as like a little intro, me and Kyle met in the Bruce Beck broadcasting camp. We've both done it for, I just finished up my third year. I don't know about you, Kyle.
Yeah, it was my fourth year, but we met last year, 2019. We clicked immediately. We've been friends now for 2 years, and this was just an idea that came to our heads after camp this year. We wanted to be self-starters, and this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited.
Yeah, so just to see where this goes, we're going to focus around New York sports for the most part and then kind of branch out a little more depending on the topics at hand. But, you know, let's get into it right now. Let's get
big,
on.
Big weekend for sports, especially New York sports.
So pretty much the main thing that's happened this week happened just yesterday. So Mr. Jamal Adams, strong safety for the New York Jets, was traded along with a 2022 fourth rounder to the Seattle Seahawks for Bradley McDougal, 2021 first round pick, 2021 third round pick, and a 2022 first round pick. Now, as a Jet fan, this hurt a lot.
Listen, I know exactly what you mean. The Giants let Landon Collins walk, I think 2 years ago, and they traded Odell Beckham Jr. And, dude, like, I'm just going to say it. The Jets, this is pretty – like, they got a good return. But in Sam Darnold's cheap years, to trade your best player, especially with a wide-open AFC East, it is – even with the trade request, it is a tough look, man.
Look, I mean, I think that Joe Douglas did a really good job with getting a return back. I mean, able to get two first-round picks and a third-rounder for a strong safety is a lot. So I'm glad that we were able to get at least something good in return.
What was the Jets' record last year?
7-9, I believe.
I mean, they're, like, right there. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure you agree with me, and I'll let you expand more on this, but, like, dude, you can't just trade your best player when you're like in that situation. Like, you get a guy like that, like, even those draft picks, like, none of those guys are going to be like a Jamal. Like, you're not going to get another Jamal Adams in all likelihood. Like,
yeah, I mean, trading away your franchise player that you thought was going to be a Jet for life kind of stings. And just seeing like Jamal Adams grow as a player the past few years was really entertaining, just because he was always such a powerhouse on this defensive side. And, like, having that kind of faith that the Jets actually have a good player that's going to last, it was nice for the time being. And when he started to get on social media and kind of be very upset with the team and all the trade rumors and whatever, it did hurt. And I did start to dislike him recently just because of him, like, crying on social media and stuff like
dude,
that.
I totally get it, man. Dude, what do you know about – I don't know anything about Bradley McDougal. Is that how you say his name?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So he's 29 years old. He's not terrible. I think he had two interceptions last year.
Yeah, eighth season out of Kansas. Yep.
He's a solid player, I'm pretty sure. I looked up some of his highlights yesterday. He looks like he could space the floor, space the field. And I think he'll be able to just be a solid starter. I mean, I don't know if he's even going to be able to, like – see, the good thing with the Jets, this year they have Marcus May under contract, so hopefully they'll be able to re-sign him. They just drafted Ashton Davis, who I believe can be a very good safety in this league if he's developed correctly. So for the safety issue, I mean, you're losing your biggest part of the defense, but there's some sort of replacement to it where it's not going to be too...
It's not like a gaping hole.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, dude, like, I'm looking at this, and I really just can't help but remind, like, how I felt, like, 2 years ago when the Giants traded Odell Beckham. It's just all too similar, man.
It really is. But, I mean, hey, that worked out for you guys, I thought. I mean,
yeah.
It didn't seem like it at the time. But.
Peppers and, dude, the Giants defense, the Giants secondary is so young, but, dude, I don't even.
The Jets secondary was young.
I'm trying to look at Bradley McDougal's stats right here, and like, there's nothing special. Like, does you know?
It's just like
average. Does he fit with the scheme? Like,
look, I mean, the only like good part about this is that our defensive coordinator is Greg Williams, and in that sense, Greg Williams said that he's going to be able to coach anybody, no matter what. He said that a few years back, and I do believe that that's true. I think
he was the guy that was with Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I genuinely think he's one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. And although he's kind of in a bad situation with the whole Jets defense and they had a lot of injuries last year and stuff like that, the fact that the Jets were 7-9 last year with the team.
Yeah, dude, I didn't realize the Jets won 7 games, man.
And, like, we definitely – I mean, I'm saying we, like, I'm part of the Jets organization.
Yeah,
but
of course. You're a fan.
With the Jets, I feel like they could have made the playoffs last year if they weren't so bad – at choking.
What about like Darnold? Like, what? How many years How many more years do you have Darnold for cheap?
That's a good question. He's getting towards, I think, 2 more years maybe. What? I might be wrong.
Probably, yeah, I'd say probably 2 years. Last year was his second year, right? So, I mean, dude, that's just a tough trade to make. It's always hard to like give away your franchise player. The Jets need Darrell Revis back. That's
exactly. I mean, having that, like, kind of defensive powerhouse is a big difference in both, like, confidence and, I mean, pretty much all of the team love Jamal, I'm pretty sure, at least. I mean, you see Le'Veon attacking him on Twitter now.
I saw the Twitter beat. Le'Veon Bell, like, didn't, like, who responded to who? Didn't Le'Veon Bell say something and then Jamal Adams said, like, see you week 14?
Yeah, so here, I'll pull up the tweet. So, look. Le'Veon Bell says, people do all the hootin' and hollering to get you brought in just to leave. LOL, like, people weird, yo. The internet got these dudes doing whatever for attention.
Didn't he do that with – he held out a whole season.
That's true.
Le'Veon Bell, dude, that guy, he cracks me up, man.
And then Adams responded saying, noted, see you week 14, because the Jets play Seahawks. I'm pretty sure it's December 13th game. And then Le'Veon got kind of mad at that. He said
– is it MetLife or is it at the Clink?
I think it's in Seattle.
Okay.
Okay, so Bell says to the noted situation, noted what? That you lied? Please trust that it is noted. And if I'm supposed to take see you in week 14 as a threat, I don't.
I didn't see that part. I did not see that part of the conversation.
Yikes. I mean, as a Jet fan, it's nice to see that kind of like Bell's part of the team now.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell, like, he was like, okay last year, but like, okay. I feel like Jets fans thought they were getting something more than it seems like they got.
I mean, I think that the way that Gase ran the Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator, I think the way that they ran the offense last year, it just completely took Bell out, and also the fact that we had a terrible offensive line didn't help.
I'm just shocked, like, that's like the first time since 2015 he didn't rush for over 1,000 yards, only 3 touchdowns. Like, I don't know. I would have expected more.
I'm hoping that he could have a bounce back year this year. I'm praying for it. I need something good as a Jet fan.
Looking at this. Okay. Who do the Jets have as receivers?
Right now, the Jets receivers, we have Breshad Perriman from the Bucks. We lost Robbie Anderson. Quincy Enunwa is out for the entire year. Because he's just still dealing with
every time I turn on a Jets game, I feel like that guy's making a clutch catch, bro.
He hasn't played in like a year and a half, so I don't even know about that.
I've been watching less football.
They signed Josh Doctson. They have Jameson Crowder, who's in the slot. Braxton Berrios, who's just a punt returner. I gotta have faith in Denzel Mims, second round pick this year. You just got to pray.
Who did the Jets take in the first round this year?
Mekhi Becton.
Okay, where did they pick?
That was 11, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Were you happy with that pick or no? I don't remember.
Genuinely, yes. I was. I mean, they could have went with a wide receiver, but I feel like picking up Mims in the second round, and then they had Ashton Davis, I believe, third round. I think we had a really good draft this year. So I'm not mad with the Mekhi Becton pick.
I mean, for me at first, I was like really really pissed off with like the Giants pick. Like when they took Andrew Thomas, I was so mad. But like honestly, like they needed an offensive lineman.
I just think that they could have traded down. Honestly, I think the Giants could have traded to either 6 or 7 and been able to get like an extra, even if
That's what I was mad about. They could have totally traded down. Like my thought process for the Giants draft this year was, if we're gonna draft 4th, we better be taking Isaiah Simmons.
Exactly.
Now, if we're getting an offensive lineman, that's fine too. Just don't make that pick at 4. And then they made the pick at 4. Like,
look, I feel like it'll be good in the long run. I think Andrew Thomas is going to be a very good offensive lineman in the future. It's just losing out on Isaiah Simmons is going to hurt, because I'm pretty sure Isaiah Simmons is going to be a top NFL defensive player.
So I was up at Q's for the Clemson-Syracuse game in September visiting, and dude, that whole Clemson defense was sick, but dude, seeing Isaiah Simmons live, like seeing that whole Clemson team was pretty cool. It was a rout, and I wasn't rooting for Clemson, but it was pretty cool. Like, Isaiah Simmons, the guy is so fast. Monster. It's unbelievable.
Because I genuinely think he could play any position on that field on defense and still be able to succeed.
You could put him at safety, and I think it'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. It's insane. I mean, that kid's got so much talent and so much potential.
All right. You want to talk baseball now? Opening weekend?
I'm good with that. Let's go.
All right. At the time of this recording, the New York Yankees are 2-1. The Yankees making me lose my mind today. It was unbelievable. The Yankees won 3-2 today.
That was a great game.
Gleyber Torres and Luke Voit homered in the 7th. And Gleyber Torres got an RBI single in the 8th. They won 3-2. The Yankees are 2-1. The Mets are 1-1.
They play tonight at 7. They play the Braves.
Tonight, yeah. They got the Braves for Sunday Night Baseball. I think Rick Porcello is making his debut.
Yep.
And, dude, let's talk about the Mets game yesterday first. Edwin Diaz, or as Frank the Tank on Twitter likes to call it, Ed Luz Diaz, this guy cannot catch a break. Puts a nasty, like, 98 on the black with movement. And who was it? Dansby Swanson, I think, tied it in the top of the 9th with a 2. I got to check now.
I can't believe that. It's the same thing as last year. The Mets would have been probably a playoff team. Maybe not exactly a playoff team, but
– oh, yeah, and we'll talk about that later. There's a 16-team playoff. I mean, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, for last year, I believe that the Mets could have made the playoffs if they just were able to get some damn saves at the end of the game.
Yeah, I watched a fair share of Mets games last year just because they were an interesting team to watch. And, like, down the stretch in August, they looked really good. They cooled down a little bit. They had that one brutal loss in Washington where they blew that, like, 7-run lead in the 9th. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's just, like, dude, if Edwin Diaz in a 60-game season gets two, like, shut-the-door, lock-it-down saves, the Mets are 2-0 heading into Sunday night, and he's got that confidence to start the season, and then he dots a pitch and he gets taken deep, like, that is brutal. That is absolutely brutal.
Like, it's
– it was Marcelo Ozuna, not Dansby Swanson. Marcelo Ozuna. I was wrong.
But just the fact that it's the same exact thing as last year, but now it's different because with the shortened season, this is what I don't really like about the shortened season, and there's nothing you could really do about it. I'm glad that there's baseball. But just the fact that any game counts now. Where if you had a bad game or if you choked the game or something like that, it's not going to change your schedule forever.
Well, here's the thing about, like, Michael Kay mentioned that on the Yankees broadcast today, that they did the math that one win is equivalent to 2.7, and same with losses. Like, so when you win, like, 2 out of 3 in a series, that's more like 5.5 out of, like, 2. You know what I mean? Like, it's something along those lines. Yeah, because every game is just that much more important. Like, you cannot lose 3 straight games. Like, it is huge. That's, like, the equivalent to losing 8. Like, that's the crazy thing about this is that it's the equivalent to everybody started or everyone was, like, 50-50 on July on, like, July 23rd. That's the equivalent of what this is. That's what makes it so nutty. And it's just – it's crazy, man. Like, the losing games like that, that sucks. Like, that sucks.
And, like, if the Mets want – I mean, it's a lot easier to make the playoffs this year, as you said, 16-team playoff. But – if the Mets want to make the playoffs this year, They need to, one, get some hit. I mean, you see the first game. They need to get hits in for DeGrom. DeGrom had one hit allowed in his six innings of pitches.
He pimped that, though. I was watching – that was the first game on Friday afternoon. That was a bomb. But, yes, DeGrom does not get any run support. And that still – the same narratives with the Mets every year. DeGrom doesn't get run support. Edwin Diaz screws up the save.
Exactly. And that's probably going to continue throughout the season. I could definitely see that happening.
So, if there were one – if you could point to one thing that would keep the Mets out of a 16-team playoff, what would it be?
Honestly, I think it's going to end up being just the saves. If Edwin Diaz and
they're going to snag one of those lower seeds, right? Like,
I think so. I mean,
I think they will.
With the talent that they have, barring any last minute injuries, I can't see them not making the playoffs. But or let me rephrase that.
Like, speaking, the Mets are a top 16 team in the MLB. They're a top
exactly
team in the MLB and the National League. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. It's just the NL East is the NL. So the seeding for you guys that don't know, it's 1 through 3 in each league is going to be the three division winners based on which has the best record. It's like last year. 4 through 6 is going to be the second place teams based on record, and 7 and 8 are going to be the best third place and lower teams. So that's where it comes in for the Mets, because the NL East, you got the defending champs in the Washington Nationals, you got the Atlanta Braves, who have seemed to have recovered from a lot of their injuries, who won the NL East the last 2 years. You got the Phillies, who added Joe Girardi, a very good manager, Didi Gregorius. I think they're losing to the they're 1-2. So, like, they're 1-2 to the Marlins. So maybe – I'm not saying you have to worry about the Marlins, but my point is there are 4 legitimate teams that could win the National League East.
And I mean, even with this year, you never know. I mean – you see last year with the Nationals having a terrible start and ended up winning the World Series.
If the team gets 19-31, they're done. But the Nats did that and won it all. So,
I mean, it's a completely different story. You're not
going to go 19-31 this year and make the playoffs.
You don't know what teams are going to make the playoffs. You could have complete surprise teams make it, and then teams that everyone thinks is going to make it completely miss it. It's just a point of luck at this point. There are
in the field for sure on both sides.
And that's why I'm saying every game matters.
Syndergaard is out for the year.
Exactly.
With Tommy John. Marcus Stroman, what was that, a calf injury? Like, Marcus Stroman got scratched from his start. And I think Matt started yesterday.
Yeah.
So, what about the Marcus Stroman injury?
It's just a point of the Mets need to help DeGrom. That's pretty much all it comes down to.
Well, here's the thing about Jacob DeGrom, and I feel the same way about Gerrit Cole as a Yankees fan, and I'm going to put this in playoff series terms. If you throw Jacob DeGrom out there 2-3 times in a playoff series, that should be a win every time.
Yeah.
I think. Like, it feels like it should be a win every time. Like, obviously, like, there's no promises there. But Jacob DeGrom is probably the best pitcher in the world. And once again, the Mets offense, which looks a lot better, it looks the best offense I think they've had in a long time on paper. And they just can't scratch across a run for DeGrom. But yesterday, they scored 3 runs, and one of them was in extra innings. So it might not be a DeGrom problem. And not to mention, they looked bad again in the inner squad – or in, not in the inner squad, in the scrimmages against the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, look, as a Met fan, I just got to hope for the best. Hopefully, they'll be able to solve those problems. I see Cespedes having that home run in his first game back. That definitely felt good. I'll just say that.
It is good to see Cespedes like out there after 2 years.
Exactly. So what are your expectations for the Yankees this year? Do you think that they could go all the way? What do you think is going to happen with that?
So the last 24 hours, I've had a roller coaster of emotions with the Yankees. And obviously they have huge potential. I think they'll be the one seed in the American League, but last night they got routed.
Yes.
It was like Eric Fede started. I don't know how you say it. He started for Washington. Steven Strasburg got scratched. The Yankees had their death lineup in last night, and that's the line. That's what Yankees fans call the lineup. It's with the one with LeMahieu, Judge, Glaber, Stanton, Hicks, Sanchez, Voit, Urshela, Gardner, or whatever it is. Like, some people would prefer Talkman, but you get the point. That would, if it were Game 1 of the World Series, be the Yankees starting lineup, probably, and they just sucked. And James Paxton had a terrible outing. He got three outs and gave up three runs. And Aaron Boone pulled him before it could all explode. But it was a crappy outing. And then they lost 9-2. And I was frustrated, but I was like, okay, we're 1-1. See, opening night, I didn't get to feel all this because they only played like five innings. But the Yankees won opening night. I'll talk about Gerrit Cole after this. But then today, they looked like crap for six innings. They were down 2-0. I don't know if you caught – you were at work, right?
Yeah, I was watching it on the TV, and I caught the end of the game.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres and Luke Voit both homered in the seventh, and then Gleyber Torres singled in the eighth, and the Yankees won 3-2. But Tommy Canley looked like – his stuff was nasty, but he loaded the bases. And then Zach Britton looked okay, and he closed it out. We got lucky. Emilio Bonifacio got caught stealing third. And that's how the Yankees ended up winning pretty much. That made the first out of the inning, and it would have been first and third, nobody out. And Gary Sanchez, who looks lost up there, by the way, made the throw, and the Yankees are 2-1. So I'm very I'll take 2 out of 3 from the defending champs every time. And the Nationals are weaker this year, and the Definitely. Yankees looked like crap hitting against Corbin today. But 2-1 heading into Philly this week, I'll take it. You know, I got the Angels. Mike Trout just hit an absolute bomb.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Trout just hit a 3-run bomb on 3-0. I'm sorry, I'm watching baseball up here. Jeez, yeah, Shohei Ohtani got smacked. Zero outs. He made zero outs. He gave up 5 runs in the first, so it's 5-3. But anyway, about the Yankees. They're 2-1, and I feel good. They don't look great, but they played a good team. I think the offense should be better than what it is, though. Like, apart from Gleyber Torres and Stanton, they really just look dry. You know? They just don't look that good yet. But hopefully they settle in quickly. DJ LeMahieu got back from COVID, so.
I mean, hey, they're good. Yankees going up to Philly next tomorrow, I believe. They're going up to play the Phillies.
They got Philly Monday through Thursday, home and home, 2-2. So
I'm hoping that they're able to win those, help out a Mets fan like me.
Yeah, seriously. All right. The Phillies – I think the Phillies lost today.
Let me check.
Phillies are
– Yes, 11-6. They lost to the Marlins.
If they gave up 11 runs to the Marlins, I'm hoping that tomorrow maybe we can straighten out our offense.
Yeah, so the fact that the Phillies are 1-2 is surprising, especially against the Marlins.
Yeah, the Phillies need to be 2-1 coming out of that opening weekend series. I mean, oh, look at that. Houston's losing. Tampa walked off today, so they're 2-1 too. Boston lost. Yeah, Boston lost 2 out of 3 too. Boston lost 2 out of 3 to the Orioles. So as far as the AL East is concerned, like, the Yankees are the best team in the AL East.
It's the Yankees division to lose right now.
It really is. And the Rays, like, they look good. I have a tough time taking the Rays seriously. I'm just going to say, like, I just have a tough time taking the Rays seriously. Like, that's fair. Pretty much what it is. Like, they'll be in that, like, 4-6 seed range. Like, I picked them to win second in the division. But, like, the Yankees shouldn't be losing the division to the Rays, even in 60 games, especially
with
the Gerrit Cole signing. Let's talk about Gerrit Cole now. I don't know if you caught the game on Thursday.
I did.
Gerrit Cole, complete game. Mm-hmm. Complete game for Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole looked pretty good. He gave up a home run to Adam Eaton in the bottom of the first. But 5 innings, 1 run, 1 hit. I think that if the game didn't get rain shortened, he would have gone longer than 5 innings. So let's just say it's 7. I'll take that every time. And
look, I think that this Yankees team is dangerous. There's no other way to put it. This team has so much potential to do so good this year. I genuinely think that the Yankees are favorites to win this title. I can't see any other team getting that far.
We're biased.
Oh, like, yeah.
Obviously. Dodgers are sick. We took 2 out of 3 from the Dodgers last year in L.A.,
And I'm Mookie.
Yeah, they have Mookie Betts. See, that extension, that scares me a little bit, because that shows me as a Yankees fan that the Dodgers are serious about, like, contending, not only now but for a while. And they're the other team. They're going to be able to pay Bellinger. They're going to be able to pay Seager. They're going to be able to pay Buehler. They're going to be able to pay Jock Peterson. Like, they're probably going to be able to keep all those cornerstone guys around. And they haven't won a title yet. So, obviously, I would have preferred that they had beaten the Cheaters or the Red Sox in 17 or 18. But they still – they're just like the Yankees. They're still the main contender that hasn't won a title yet in their window. So, I don't know. They scare me the most.
So they're a very scary team. They definitely can contend for years to come. So I get that. I understand that.
Like with the Yankees at like 2-1, the Yankees are 2-1. I think the Dodgers are 2-1. They might be playing right now. You can't look into the record as much as how well the team has played, or like, you know what I mean. Like, standings matter immediately because it's
too early
game season. The Yankees looked good today. The Dodgers don't play till 10. Like, the Yankees did not look good today, but they snuck out a win, and their bullpen is filth, and I'll take that. So, if the Yankees just keep playing to their strengths, I think they'll be fine. I'm hoping they take 3 out of 4 in Philly.
I could see that. I think that they could.
I'm hoping they take 3 out of 4 in Philly. Going 5-2, and then they have Boston next weekend. I mean...
Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
the Mets have the Red Sox this week. So the Mets got to get some wins against the Red Sox. I'm going to take a look at the Mets rotation here coming up. After Porcello, Michael Wacha tomorrow. Who's the Mets' fifth starter?
I can't remember this right
now. I don't know who it is either. They don't have anyone listed on at bat.
Oh, really?
I don't know who it's going to be, because hopefully for the Mets, they can slot Stroman back in there, but.
We'll see. Hopefully.
Yeah, it's to be determined. I guess, what's the Mets manager's name? Like, Rojas? It was Carlos Beltran.
That lasted.
Yeah, that was a while. Longest tenured manager in Mets history. But, with the Yankees, the key is just going to be coming down to, like, they have to beat the bad teams. Like, they make sure they beat up on the Orioles and the Marlins whenever they play them. Mm-hmm. Toronto looks like they might be okay this year. They blew a lead against Tampa today, but like the one thing holding the Yankees back is going to be like just losing like games that they shouldn't lose. That's going to be the one thing.
Yeah.
If I were to pinpoint it on one thing.
That's fair.
Yep. So we got one more thing to talk to you guys about today. I think we've talked about baseball for this time. This one, I think we both have pretty strong opinions on this. The New York Knicks signed, and we're both Knicks fans. This is the first time. It was the first time we talked about with that. The Knicks signed Tom Thibodeau to a 5-year deal. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Years. And you start. You go first.
Okay. Look, I think that Tom Thibodeau is – I think he is a good coach. I think that – he has been a good coach. I just don't think he's going to fit with this Knicks organization. I think that the fact that I believe he was the one that ruined Derrick Rose's career.
I was going to say that. Keep going.
Just the fact that I don't want to see Knicks young players, I don't want to see RJ Barrett or Mitchell Robinson play 45 minutes a game for 3 straight games and have their knees blown out by the end of it. And I don't know what's going to happen for this season with the Knicks. I don't see them making the playoffs again, unfortunately. It's just the pain that I have to deal with being a Knicks fan. But I don't see this as a good move for our young players' futures.
And shout out to you before I get started on being the first one in our group chat to report that. I saw your text before everyone else, before seeing like Bleacher Report or ESPN or anything like that. But anyway, the way I see it, this is either going to strike gold or it's going to really suck. And here's what we got to keep in mind. I saw some crazy stat on Twitter the other day. The Knicks have, 12 coaches in the last 13 years. Is that the stat?
I think it might be – Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Because they had 14 since 1999 when Dolan came in.
Yeah, yeah. So the Knicks have had a lot of coaches in the last even 3 or 4 years. Like, we've had Hornacek, we had Dave Fizdale.
Fisher.
Mike Miller this year, interim. Who was before Hornacek? Like, Derek Fisher. And then before that, it was Woodson. Mm-hmm. The Knicks just cannot find their guy. And it's been that way ever since Van Gundy, or was it Van Gundy or Riley who coached first? I forgot.
I'm pretty sure Van Gundy.
Okay, so since Riley, the Knicks haven't been able to find their guy. And I feel like this is a move that the way Jim Dolan is thinking here is that this is the first one that's been, like, really polarizing. And, like, since Derek Fisher, like, this is the first guy that, like, I've had a strong opinion on. Like, when the Knicks got Hornacek, I was like, okay.
Yeah, I get that.
Like, when we got Fizdale, I was like, okay, like, whatever.
I like Fizdale.
Yeah, I thought Fizdale was going to be way better than he was. But
I think Fizdale got screwed over when the Knicks started to not get the draft picks that they were supposed to.
Yeah, I mean,
I think Fizdale could have been a very good coach for the Knicks if he had the right team. And the team loved him. Everyone loved Fizz, though. He was just a class act. He was a good guy.
You better under Mike Miller, though. Like, they sucked either way. But the point I'm trying to make here is this is either going to be really good or really bad. Like, there's no in between. If Dave Fizdale, or excuse me, if Tom Thibodeau is either going to make the Knicks worse, like, significantly, like, that he's going to ruin. He could either ruin, like, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Mitchell Robinson, like, all those guys. They could be really messed up for the rest of their career if it goes poorly. And I do agree with you. I think guys like Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, not so much Karl Anthony Towns, but he did coach there. Like, those guys, like, he kind of screwed them up a little bit with the amount of minutes he played them. Hopefully, like, here's what I was hoping. I'm hoping they bring on Kenny Atkinson as an assistant coach, the next last coach. Because here's what I would do. I would tell Kenny Atkinson, listen, we're going to offer you an assistant coaching job. You're free to leave for a head coaching job at any time. Bring on a guy like, I'm just glad it's not Jason Kidd. I feel like that would have been the biggest Knicks thing to ever happen. Jason Kidd was the head coach, of course. Like, that would have just been such a Knicks thing to happen.
Look, all I'm saying is I think Kenny Atkinson, I just don't see it possible to grab him as an assistant coach. I mean,
but it's worth a shot. Like,
by the end of the season, he's going to have a head coaching position. I can't see him not having that kind of job for much longer.
I hope the Knicks keep Mike Miller around as an assistant coach.
Definitely.
I think he did a really good job. Like, he's not like that big name New York guy that you want, but, like, I think he did a nice job.
I would rather have him than Thibodeau, to be honest.
It's just so polarizing. Like, the fan base is just split. Here's my thing about the Knicks. I wish that I would have preferred Atkinson. I would have preferred Atkinson. He did a great job developing those guys over in Brooklyn. Jared Allen, Caris LeVert. Who else over there in Brooklyn? D'Angelo Russell before he left.
Yeah.
Like, there were just guys.
He really changed his career.
Yeah, he just changed the course of, like, the Nets. Like, he just did. Like, they got better. Like, obviously, like, we don't have to talk about how they are now with, like, Kyrie situation and all that crap.
Yeah.
He could have been the guy to develop Mitchell Robinson, Dennis Smith Jr., RJ Barrett, Julius Randle, maybe even Frank Ntilikina or Kevin Knox. Like, the Knicks just have a lot of young guys, and some of them have showed really great promise. Some of them not so much, but I guess you got to be patient because they're all young.
Look, in my opinion, I think the Knicks should have gone with either Atkinson. I would have been fine if they picked up Mike Woodson again. I think that kind of reunion tour with Mike Woodson, I think he would have been good for our young players.
I think that might have been even more of a show than, like, having Thibodeau, though. Like,
The
way I see this, like, I wouldn't be surprised, is all I'm saying, if his scheme makes the Knicks, like, better immediately. I'd be even less surprised if it screws them up big time in the long run. And I don't think the Knicks are going to be going after any of the big fish in free agency this year especially after they struck out last year.
See, I don't think it's possible, because genuinely, I think that players would want to come to New York. They'd want to come to the Big Apple. They'd want to have that kind of market around.
The reason they don't want to come to New York is because of Dolan.
It's exactly Dolan. And the fact right now, he didn't put out any sort of message after the George Floyd death. And the fact that he didn't say anything.
That was ridiculous. I think being the only owner to not do that was absurd.
I think that that's going to be a huge hit to them. I genuinely think people won't come to New York solely because of that.
Well, it's been like this for years. Like, the Knicks have the worst record in the league since, like, 2001 or something like that. Or at least top three worst records. Bottom three record in the league. I say this every time, and maybe I'm just more optimistic than you, but, like, it's just, like, I have a good feeling about it. But I say that every time. I had a good feeling about Fizdale, too. And, like I said, this is either going to go great or it's going to suck. There's going to be no in between. And I know that's like what I mean by that is the Knicks are, I think, either going to be like 42-40, which would be really great. And I'd be so happy with that. Or they're going to go like 17-65 again. Like, I don't think that it's going to be like this year where they kind of just were like middle, like bottom 10, but like not like bottom three. I think they'll either be bottom three or they'll be fighting for, like, a playoff spot. Because that's just how different this signing is compared to the other ones in the past. Like, that's the way I see it. I like that it's something different. That's the only thing I like, though.
Look, as a Knicks fan, I know, and also as a Jet fan and a Met fan, I know to never get my hopes up no matter what. So right now, I'm just going to say that the Knicks aren't winning more than 25 games next season. I just can't see that happening, no matter who they pick up in free agency, no matter who they get in this year's draft. I don't believe.
I got to check this. About the draft, I hope we draft LaMelo Ball. That would be sick. Talk about publicity in New York. Like,
I feel like it's going to be a really good fit for LaVar, to be completely honest. I could see
LaVar
that
in New York. Honestly, he should have been our head coach, man.
Yeah, that would have been something.
Nah, I'm kidding about that. Anthony isn't going to leave the Lakers. Draymond Green's going to re-sign. Mm-hmm. And then after that, like, it's like, did Conley sign an extension with the Jazz?
I'm not sure about that.
And then, like, after that, like, there's not, like, any
Knicks aren't getting anybody anytime soon. They're not getting anyone in 2021. They're not picking up Giannis.
Well, what do you think about Leon Rose? Like, that, like, hiring by
– I don't
– He was an agent, right?
Yeah.
Kind of go with the Mets, like, Van Wagenen, like, type.
Style, yeah. I mean, I think that it could be beneficial. Right now, we haven't had enough of, like, experience with him to see. So, I think it's a good, like, kind of throw. It's kind of just, like, a jack-in-the-box thing where you really don't know what's going to happen. And you don't know what's going to come out. And I think because of that, it may not have been the best hiring, and they could have hired other people that could have, like, have a track record of being good team presidents. But I don't know. It's not a bad hire, I wouldn't say, but I don't think it's a spectacular hire.
Okay. So, like, I agree with you. Like, and I saw a tweet. I can't remember who it was, but somebody tweeted, I'm tired of the Knicks making these hires that make me feel like, well, at least it wasn't the worst case scenario. Because, like, people are like, well, at least it wasn't Jason Kidd. And I agree with that, because the Knicks have been so bad for so long that us saying, like, well, at least it wasn't this guy, and not saying, like, I really like this hiring, that's just a bad sign. Because we've been down this road before, and the fact that we're both – I'm so-so on it, and the fact that you hate it, that says something.
Yeah.
You know, like, that says something about the Knicks. And just, like, I just want the Knicks to do something to get me excited again. That's all I want. Like, the last time we got something like that was, like, the Derrick Rose trade. And, like, we all know how that turned out. Like,
yeah, that really worked out.
Yeah. I mean, Phil Jackson, too. Like, I just want the Knicks to do something to get me going again. Like, I'd way rather have the Knicks – suck again. I'd rather have the Knicks, like, squeak in an 8 seed and, like, lose in 5 to, like, Milwaukee.
Look, that one season where they got the second seed and they had over 50 wins, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we lost to the Pacers in six in the second round.
That was honestly the greatest time of basketball in my life.
And here's and the thing about the Knicks is that everybody in New York roots for the Knicks. Say what you want about the Nets. Listen, I'm from Jersey, so like I'm not like crapping on Jersey. Everyone that's a Nets fan is from Jersey. New York City is a Knicks city, regardless of how bad the Knicks are.
So I agree with that. When the
Knicks are good, it's something different. You know what I mean? Because like,
because it never happens.
There's the Yankees and Mets. There's the Giants and Jets. But there's only the Knicks. Like I don't care what you tell me about the Nets. There's only the Knicks if you're from.
I completely agree with that. I don't. There's in a situation where okay, if you're a Met fan and they suck, you're gonna go over to the Yankees. If you're a Jet fan and they suck, you're gonna go over to the Giants. It's not the same way with Knicks fans, I don't believe. And, like, happened a little bit recently because the Nets have been doing better. They had D'Angelo Russell last year.
Those people are not real Knicks fans.
Like, exactly. I don't think that the Knicks are too high profile and too high market to lose fans in that way. So even when they're 20 and whatever, even when they're absolutely terrible, they're not losing fans.
Year after year, even when they suck. And Jim Dolan makes money year after year, even when they suck. And the Knicks are still extremely, they're the most valuable team in the NBA, despite being terrible every year because they play in Madison Square Garden, they play in that market. So that goes along with what I said earlier. These, well, at least it wasn't this guy reactions, are bad reactions.
Yeah.
They're not good reactions. And what was Tom? I gotta look up Tom Thibodeau's like coaching record. Like, I am curious. Like, I'm not entirely sure of like. I'm looking on Basketball Reference right now.
No, like he's a respectable coach. He like I know Greg Popovich came out with something like yesterday saying that he's a seasoned veteran or something like that, and he understands what wins.
100 games over 500, like 352 and 246 for his career.
He's not a bad coach on paper. I don't know how he is not. Like in the actual games. I know that he tried to square up to Jay Crowder at one point.
Here's the thing about Thibodeau that like excites me a little bit though. The teams he's coached have been playoff teams.
That's true.
Like these teams, like his 3 years in Minnesota, how many times did they made the playoffs like two or three times or
I think two out of the three.
Yeah. And then I think with the Bulls. Yeah, no, one time out of, I think it was one time out of the three. Well, before he got fired.
But regardless, I think he is a very good coach when the team is already there. I don't think he's good at developing players.
Yeah,
and that sucks because that's this Knicks situation. I feel like if the Knicks had a very good team right now, I feel like if they were ready to contend, I feel like he would be a perfect fit. But because they have so many young players that need to develop, I just don't see it.
If you're saying we made this hire 3 years from now and the Knicks are like, okay, yes, I see what you mean.
Exactly.
That it's a concern for me too. I would rather have a guy that we can develop, and I think that Atkinson was our guy for that.
Exactly. That would have been the right. I agree with that.
I don't think there would have been many Knicks fans that would have been upset with that.
Mm-hmm. Just because like Thibodeau, I feel like is a win now coach.
And yeah, you're right. You're right.
He's not going to be good in this whole rebuilding phase, and because of that, it's going to hurt the players more than anything else. So, yeah. I'm scared for R.J. Barrett's future. I'm scared for Mitchell Robinson. My biggest fear for
this is that this screws up Robinson or Barrett or one of those guys. Like, mm-hmm. I'd say, like, of all the Knicks' young talent, we can probably rank them in a few tiers. We got, like, Barrett and Robinson up here. Then we got, like, Dennis Smith and, like, Julius Randle maybe here. Mm-hmm. And then there's, like, the C tiers, like, Nick Knox and, like, Ntilikina and, like, those guys. So. But – I think all those guys I just named, besides Randall, are 22 or younger, right?
I believe so, about that. Maybe so, like 23, 22, yeah.
Yeah, it concerns me too. Like that, you're completely right about that. He's a win now coach. Like that's why I'm so like lukewarm on this decision. Yeah, Barrett's 20. Kevin Knox is 20. Ntilikina's 21. Randall
all these young players Robinson, need to be.
Yeah, Robinson's 21. Smith is 21. Okay, so like, they're all like
low
20s, and the Knicks went 21-45 this year. And if they don't add anybody, I agree with you. I don't see how Thibodeau helps.
Exactly.
Atkinson, maybe, different story. Because I really liked what he did with the Nets. I would like to see something like that happen.
Well, you know what? We just got to hope for the best. I mean,
yeah.
Hope that the Knicks are actually able to make the playoffs in the near future instead of having to wait another decade.
In the East every year, it's just like, yeah, it's just not enough. Like, we'll see what happens. Like, realistic prediction here, like, the Knicks are going to go 31-51 next year. Going to get, like, the 10th overall pick, and we're just going to be disappointed again. But we still have the lottery coming up, so. All right.
You know what? I'm hoping for a good offseason. I'm hoping for the best for the Knicks. I just can't see it happening.
And, you know, it really is a shame that the year that 22 teams get into the bubble, that we're not in the bubble. Of course.
Prove me wrong, Tom Thibodeau.
Prove us wrong. You too, Leon Rose. We're excited for this new regime. All right, that's all we have for you guys today. It's our first episode, working out the kinks a little bit. We're probably going to be uploading these. We'll be recording every Sunday, Monday morning. So we'll be recapping the week in New York sports every week. We got the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be talking about Rangers game one next week. Bubble's going to start, talk Nets a little bit probably, see if anything else happens in Giant Jet World, and we'll recap the Yankees and Mets first week of the season next week. So really excited to continue this for you guys. And Anthony, anything you want to say before we finish this thing out?
Same thing. Just it's a pleasure. And I hope that we could grow this to much, much larger audience than what we have right now.
Yeah. So we're really excited to be producing this product for you guys. And thanks a lot for listening again. And we'll see you next week. Later, guys.
See you guys.